Cowboys Nation, hello. You are tuned in to Cowboy Zone with Ashley Baker and my co-host, Josh Vinson. This is another, well, this time it is a victory Saturday where we are joining you, where the Dallas Cowboys are now 10-1. How are you today, Josh? How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, well, Thanksgiving was amazing. It was a little awkward. I was not around family, but I was at AT&T Stadium with my fellow co-host, yourself, and we got a chance and opportunity to cover one of the best rivalries in football, one of the most historic, games, Thanksgiving Day games, and it was great. I had a great time being in Texas. Watching the Dallas Cowboys play the Washington Redskins, two teams that we cover in our market, and one team walked away victorious, and one team is kind of kicking itself in the back, because they've had opportunities to, change the results, but they just couldn't capitalize on it. How was yours? That was your first time down in Dallas. How was that for you?
First time in Dallas, and it was just an amazing experience. Of course, Cowboys getting the win made it that much better. That was definitely the cherry on top of everything. But beautiful city, beautiful stadium. AT&T Stadium is really amazing, and the fans are really amazing. And the people there in Irving and in Dallas and in Arlington, the places that I happened to actually go to while I was down there are just really amazing. And that Southern hospitality thing is definitely real, because everybody was just so nice. So let's get into it, Josh. Listen.
Let's go.
These Cowboys are 10-1 coming in on to a game where a lot of people were actually up in the air about as to who would win. You, however, my friend, were quite confident that Dallas would walk away with the win, and they did. What did you think about Dak's performance? What did you think about Zeke's performance? What did you think about our defense's performance?
For sure. Let's start with the defense. The defense, I'll be honest, they scared me for much of the game up until the time Washington found themselves in the red zone. The defense ended up giving up well over 400 and something yards, and that did make me a little nervous. And I wrote a piece about that. That's up on our site. Make sure you check out Fox Sports 1340 AM about how things could have definitely went another way if Washington could have converted there in that red zone the three or four times that they went there, but they left so many points up on the board. But as far as Dak Prescott again. His stats were pretty decent. 17-24 for 195 yards. He did have his one touchdown as well. Ezekiel Elliott, the rushing, they did their thing. That offensive line, allowed Zeke and others, even Dak had 39 yards. So that offensive line definitely helped out their running backs and let them do what they needed to do. Ezekiel Elliott, again, was a little shy of the 100 yards, but, hey, he on 20 carries, he had 97 yards, so he was only 3 yards away. It was nice to see Dez Bryant do his thing. He definitely made himself known. Terrence Williams with the touchdown catch with the tippy toes. He was real.
The smooth criminal. Toe touching thing he did there.
T-Will, when we discussed this together down in Dallas, T-Will, he's allergic to the out-of-bounds, And he goes out-of-bounds at the wrong times and then don't go out-of-bounds when he needs to. We all remember that from the Giants game, because the Cowboys would be undefeated if he didn't mess up. But anyway, the point to be
And
made,
I'm shady.
I love T-Will. I showed him a little love in the locker room, but, he is the reason why the Cowboys are not undefeated. But with all that being said, 31-26, you got to love the way the Cowboys were dominant the entire time. But when we start talking about some takeaways, something that we definitely have to kind of look at, they did give up 20 points in the fourth quarter. That defense did give up over 400 or something yards. So moving forward, that's something, Dallas want to tighten in on those types of things, because, as December is the most important month of football, and the last thing you want to do and start dropping games, the last thing you want to do is start allowing people to feel confident against your defense. So we'll definitely talk about that when it's time to talk about the negatives. But the positives, Cowboys are 10-1. Dak Prescott is Sunday night as well for Ezekiel Elliott. Both of them are making great have great resumes to be MVPs for, you know, rookie MVP or for the league as a whole player, you know. So I'm excited. I'm excited for both Dak. I'm excited for both Zeke. And they got the Vikings coming up next Thursday. So
yep.
What about you? What were some of your thoughts?
One of the things that I'm definitely liking about this Cowboys team is their confidence. And, you know, Dak Prescott said that he believes that every time that they get the ball, that they can score.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening on a lot of these possessions here. I mean, they are averaging nearly 30 points a game, meaning they're going to give you at least 4 touchdowns a game, at least.
Yeah.
That's not something that Cowboys Nation is quite used to, especially in recent years. But as you said, Dak Prescott, 17 of 24, 195 yards, a touchdown. While the stats are not completely mind-blowing, Dak's decision-making, his poise, I mean, we talk about this week in and week out. His poise is just, you just can't really compare it. I mean, he's gaining so much respect around the league and from other players. And, you know, DeSean Jackson and him actually traded jerseys at the end of the game. And D-Jack even said, you know, respect is give, you know, not given, it's earned. And, you know, he just, you know, just definitely gave Dak his props. And Ezekiel Elliott, the same thing. You know, a lot of Ezekiel Elliott is starting to feel like that people are complimenting him without necessarily meaning to, which is, you know, doing that feed me gesture. Everybody's doing that. And it's really, it's more so of a compliment for him because whenever they stop a run or something like that, they're doing that gesture. But he racked up for, you know, like you said, 20 attempts, 97 yards. He also had 2 touchdowns. His longest run was for 21 yards. So, you know, they are trying to, it looks like they're trying to, you know, tighten up on the run, these teams that face that. And at that point, most of the time, it seems as if all of that is just starting to, it's becoming the Dak show a little more. I mean, you know, Zeke is going to do his thing, but it's really becoming the, you know, the Dak show because he's having to make sure that he makes his mark through the air, which is he doing, or with his feet, which he's doing. Like you said, I do have a problem with the defense. Our defense gave up, I believe it was actually over 500 total yards. Kirk Cousins was 449 yards in the air. And he was 41 of 53. I mean, he attempted 53 passes. And like you said, in the post-game show, that's on Fox Sports 1340 AM as well, on our Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook. If you have the opposing quarterback throwing that many times, I mean, that's a good thing. They took away the run. Mr. Robert Kelly, the rookie over there in Washington, decided to talk all that trash this week. and homeboy ended up with 14 attempts for 37 yards. I mean, you can't. You don't have – I mean, I had the same problem with our cornerback Brown, who's filling in for Morris Claiborne, I believe. You know, the trash talking, he was talking about Steve Smith last week. Like, you're a rookie. Like, Steve Smith can talk whatever he wants. You can't talk. And that's the same thing I'm going to say about, you know, Robert Kelly. I mean, you only ran for 37 yards, sir. You know what I mean? And that's one thing that Dallas is definitely – you know, they are third in the league when it comes to – defensively when it comes to rushing. You can't be running your mouth like that, man. He went out here and ran his mouth, didn't even put up 40 yards. But, again, Kirk Cousins is just doing his thing. He had 3 touchdowns on the day, a huge reception by DeSean Jackson. He had 4 receptions for 118 yards. I mean, he's an elite receiver. And, of course, Jordan Reed, 10 receptions, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns. D-Jack had a touchdown as well. You know, the secondary is a huge concern of mine. Barry Church is not in there. Morris Claiborne is not in there. And even when those guys were in there, I mean, just, you know, me calling a spade and me just doing, you know, I'm going to do what I do here on Cowboys Own. You know, it was suspect with those guys being in the secondary. It's beyond suspect with them not being back there. So Rob Marinelli has got to figure out a way for these guys to, I mean, their philosophy is bend but don't break, and that's what the defense is doing. They may bend, but they are not breaking. Four red zone trips for the Redskins. They only came out at that point with like 6 points. So again, bending but not breaking. But you cannot go into the playoffs seeing certain teams, seeing these possible, you may see the Redskins again, or you may see the Giants, or you may see Seattle, or you may see Matthew Stafford, who is a gunslinger, because these guys are not going to go into the red zone and not convert on at least three or four of those red zone, possessions like the Redskins did. These teams aren't going to do that. So you have to make sure you tighten up the defense. And, as long as the offense keeps clicking the way they clicking, again, like you said, man, 10-1. 10-1. I don't like the fact that Zeke was over 100 yards, under 100 yards again, but, it is what it is. They're 10-1. They're clicking. The chemistry is there. It's a really, really great thing to see. Another great thing to see was that Dez Bryant and Josh Norman matchup. Boy, that, oh boy.
You talk about drama. You talk about messiness. You talk about, that was pretty interesting. And the crazy thing is, it really just shows how journalism has just changed so vastly, because those tweets were coming out the gate from almost every journalist that was in both of those locker rooms. You had
absolutely
people in Dallas. You had the people over there on the other side of the arena from in the Washington locker room, and they are just tweeting back and forth as Josh Norman is saying what he's saying. And to the people that don't really know what was going on, to give a firsthand account, Dez Bryant, and this is something that you really don't see a lot in a locker room, Dez Bryant made himself available to every reporter in that locker room that wanted to talk to him.
He made it his business.
He did, of course, what we call a media scrum, where you have the athlete right there in the center, and then you have, like, all the press around him. And so he, of course, did his trash talking there. And from there, cameras decide to go to other players, whether it was Lucky Whitehead was talking or whether it was Zeke that was talking, people, start to go to different players. Dez, if you wanted to, if you had a camera, you had a microphone, a cell phone, a recorder, hell, if you
was talking
to
you.
Him one-on-one.
He was
talking
to you.
You
could have
running
his mouth.
Right. You could have just had a pen on the microphone with your finger in your ear. He was ready to talk to you. And he went to every single journalist, and he spoke, and he spoke, and he spoke to them about Josh Norman. And Josh Norman on the other side, definitely had, said what he said. Actually, you was there in the locker room during that time. For the most of that, I was with Jason Garrett in the main press room. Talk to the audience. Again, 1340, we give you that type of exclusivity, whether it's with the Redskins, whether it's with the Cowboys. That is just what we do here at Cowboy Zone. Let them know. Let the people that's listening know what was that like. What was going down?
Well, he came to his locker room, and again, this is Dez Bryant we're talking about here, and I mean, just that was the first thing he talked about. That was the main thing he talked about, his battle with Josh Norman. And for those who don't know, him and Josh Norman were actually really cool before this game. I mean, they respect each other in all of the other games that they've played in, and it's never been as testy as it was on Thursday between those two. And, Dez just, came out and said, a couple things in regards to, believing that Josh was soft, and that he burned Josh on a couple of routes, and that Washington, he made a statement and said that Washington should get their money back. And, that's kind of echoing what, Norman said about him last year when they faced each other. And even after, Josh said that last year, they still, were cool. I mean, it's going to be trash talking, but there are a couple of things in the film that shows, Josh kind of being the aggressor a bit from my point of view. It seemed that Josh was being a bit of the aggressor. And then, after Dez said what he said in the locker room, Josh was, of course, explaining his side in the Redskins locker room. And, he went to say that Dez said, after the game, came up to him and said, what's up? where I'm from, we empty the clips. That's what, you know, Josh Norman said, that Dez Bryant said. And for those who don't know what that means, you know, to get busy with gun violence. And that just wasn't cool, you know, for it to be said, if it was said. And furthermore, it wasn't cool to repeat it or say it out to the media if that was said, you know, on the field. But, I mean, these guys are going to go back and forth. Dez has promised us all week that he is going to show film on how Josh Norman should be exposed. So I'm waiting on, you know, that. Credit to Dez Bryant, though. He did get on Twitter late last night and say that he apologized and he just shouldn't have stooped that low. And, you know, he's bigger than that, and that there's something happening with this Cowboys team. And that is definitely something that I'm glad that he alluded to, because, you know, that team does not need any outside distractions. And they just need to continue to focus ahead. They have the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota next week. But Josh Norman is the type of – Josh Norman is an elite quarterback. Should Washington give their money back? No. He's an elite cornerback. I mean, and if you look over the boys' career stats, you know, I mean, he's shutting down these elite receivers. It is what it is. And a lot of that has to do with the scheme that the coaches will draw up, which was hide. I mean, a lot of the time they did hide Dez in the slot Thursday, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Josh is not covering him in the slot. So a lot of it is, you know, scheming. It's just the coaching staff being smart, you know. So, but on the times that he did go against Josh, I think he had like 3 receptions for like 35, 36 yards or something to that extent. But that's definitely a matchup that may happen later on in the playoffs. If, you know, the seeding stays the way it is, definitely the Redskins could meet the Dallas Cowboys again. So that's definitely something to look out for. And, you know, it's all good and fun. I mean, it's all good. Do you think they took it too far? I mean, I thought it was all good and fun. I really didn't have a problem with it. I like the drama. I like drama.
Well, yeah, well, we know you like drama. We know you. I agree for both sides. I mean, to be honest, when you talk about a rivalry game, that's what you expect, right? I'm, you know, before the game started, the Cowboys showed these clips between, you know, Washington and Dallas over the years, and, you know, it got ugly.
It got
ugly. People was pushing, people was shoving, you know, it got ugly. So, you know, it kind of reminded me of like a little Mike Tyson moment or something after the game. You know, all the cameras were around, and Dez and Josh, they got to pushing and shoving, and all the pictures are going. You know, it was a nice, you know, little event. But I can also see the other side, and I do appreciate that Dez did, you know, step out and be a leader and say, well, you know, I shouldn't have stooped to that level, because truth be told, you do have a lot of young kids watching, and you do have kids that are that aspire to be like Josh Norman, aspire to be like Dez. And the last thing you want them to do is, you know, emulate that, or imitate that.
Right.
Out on you know, on a high school
I think that it's
level,
okay to speak
level.
Like
right.
that, or exactly, yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that
you know, because, I mean, we're all here for the drama. Like, you know, hey, I'm the best in the game. Okay, cool, I'm here for that. But then it's just like when you start talking about emptying clips and this, that, and the other, that's when you kind of pushing, you know, pushing the limit just a little bit. But again, like I said, you know, let's be honest, nobody had no gun on that field. Josh Norman was not about to get it cracking with Dez right there on national TV like that, you know. So it was all fun and games for us, you know, again, the media to kind of talk about. But definitely for the younger generation that's watching and aspire to be the next Dez Bryant or the next Josh Norman, we do want those young men to kind of carry themselves in a better position. So I definitely can see both sides. But aside from that, I mean, again, it was really entertaining, to be honest.
It's entertainment.
Yeah,
it's entertainment. It's fun. And I think that Dez and Josh need to remember that it's a game. It's all fun. You know what I mean? We both know you guys are elite. Nobody's really going to get the best of the other. I think I said that last week. Nobody's really going to get the best of the other when it comes to an elite corner, an elite wide receiver. And, you know, that probably was frustrating both of them, that neither one of them had the edge up on the other. You know what
probably
I mean?
That's probably what really fueled it
is that Dez wasn't really getting the best of Josh, and Josh wasn't really getting the best of Dez. But, you know, again, Dallas needs to keep that at the wayside, and they need to move forward. And moving forward is meaning looking forward to these Minnesota Vikings, who happened to drop their Thanksgiving game after a late interception pass by Mr. Sam Bradford. What is going on with these Vikings, man? I mean, they started off 5-0, best in the NFC. You know, people believe that they were definitely looking like Super Bowl contenders, and the defense was clicking, and they have dropped to 6-5 on the year.
It's hard out here for Minnesota. I mean, you talk to people back there in Minneapolis, and again, we'll be live out in Minneapolis starting on Wednesday, but the game is on Thursday, but we'll be in Minneapolis Wednesday and Thursday. It's hard out here for the Vikings. You know, towards the middle part of October, after their bye week, actually, it has been very tough for them. They dropped the game against the Eagles. They dropped the game against the Bears. They dropped the game against the Lions. They dropped the game against Washington. Then they won against the Cardinals and then dropped the game against Detroit in the most embarrassing way to lose a game. You throw an interception and then allow the team to kick a field goal to kind of put it away. You know, I really don't know. I mean, and when you look at the rest of the schedule for Minnesota, that whole NFC North, I don't know who's going to, you know, win that division. It looks like the Lions right now. As you mentioned, Minnesota do have Dallas coming up on Thursday, December 1st, and then they go down to Jacksonville. And then they play Indianapolis. They play Green Bay over in Lambeau Field. And then they come to Chicago. Then they play Chicago on January 1st, a team that they already lost to. You know, I don't really know what's going to happen with Minnesota or why they are falling off. What I'm really concerned about is going into 2017 because, you know, they did get Sam Bradford. They gave up a high draft pick, if I'm not mistaken, a number one draft pick for Sam Bradford. And now the question is what's going to happen kind of with the Teddy Bridgewater situation? You may remember prior to the season starting, Teddy Bridgewater did suffer such a horrific injury that people in Minneapolis were kind of whispering he may be sidelined not only for this entire season, but he could also be sidelined for a big chunk of 2017. Of course, that is all, you know,
speculative,
right? At this moment. But everybody's speculating. But, you know, it kind of makes sense when you look at how they gave away so much for Sam Bradford, you know, because I definitely don't think he was worth a first-round pick. So I say all of that to say,
you ain't finding an argument over here, buddy.
This is what I would say to the Cowboys. I mean, you know, the Minnesota Vikings defense is still what it is. You know, you definitely don't want to take them lightly. I mean, they are playing to possibly get back into that number one seed out there in the NFC North. So this game does have a lot at stake. This is not going to be one of those easy games. And Dallas themselves are on a road trip. If I'm not mistaken, they take Minneapolis up in Minnesota, and then they go over to New York and play the Giants. So you definitely, if you're the Cowboys, you definitely want to knock out these two road games. But it is unfortunate for Minnesota because going into the season here in the NFC North, Minnesota and Green Bay were your top two teams. Aaron Rodgers was coming off the worst season he had last year, and he was trying to redeem himself. And then you had Teddy Bridgewater, and you had Adrian Peterson. You had all this, you know, coming together for Minnesota. They had, like, one of the best defenses, one of the easiest schedules as well. And the same can also be said about the Green Bay Packers. But look what happened. Who would have thought the Detroit Lions would be the number one seed in the NFC North? I know you couldn't pay anybody here in the Midwest to believe that.
It's weird. I'm going to flip to the other side. It's really weird what's going on with the Vikings. Just as far as Sam Bradford is concerned, he went 31-37, had 224 yards that game. And that game was, you know, close the entire game. I mean, it was only touchdowns in the first quarter for both teams. So, and to be honest with you, that is a little that's a little uncommon for Detroit themselves because, again, that is, you know, Matthew Stafford is just doing so well. Matthew Stafford has been on fire week 10 of 2000, like last year. He has just been on fire. I mean, he's definitely in MVP talk. And, you know, they have no problem putting a second L on the Cowboys record. So you better believe that they are going to go in and try their very best to do that. Again, another game where I am very worried about how the defense will stand up. I have no problem with the bend but don't break philosophy that Dallas is trying to have here. But, you know, Matthew Stafford is no joke. He's no slouch. He had 23. He went 23 of 40. He had 232 yards on Thanksgiving. He had a touchdown through the air. So it's going to be, you know, they have some pretty good receivers out there.
Yeah.
They have Bolden and Tate. So it's going to be quite the matchup. I am quite grateful, however, not that he is injured, but I am quite grateful that that Dallas does not have to worry about Adrian Peterson on that
Right.
day.
That's true.
Because, man, I mean, you got to already worry about the aerial assault that, the aerial assault that the Vikings can give them.
Yeah.
I'm just happy that they don't have to worry about Adrian Peterson when they play the Vikings. That's what I'm, I mean, Sam Bradford can have his good days too. We're not
Right.
going to, take that away from him. Sam Bradford, I don't believe that Sam Bradford is a scrub or, he's not no
Right.
slouch. I mean, I don't think he's not a cornball or anything like that. The boy can
Right.
play
He's far
ball.
from a day comer.
Yeah,
He's
he can.
very far
Yeah,
from a day
oh, yeah,
comer.
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Chicago.
Right.
So he can end up having a really great day, and he could be a gunslinger on his own and start throwing passes up there, man, for 30, 40 yards at a time, but at least Dallas don't really have to worry about that one game, with
They
Adrian
do.
Peterson. And even to look a little forward, Dallas plays, Detroit too,
They do. They
down the
do.
line. So
And
hopefully
let me say
we'll
this real
see.
quick. If I'm those teams in Minnesota, coming up, I'm looking at the missed opportunities that Washington had. Because as we just talked about, Kirk Cousins, he was forced to be one-dimensional. You know what I'm saying? Because the Redskins rushed only for 56 yards. But I'm looking at, Dallas, and I know Cowboys fans don't really want to hear this, but Dallas is beatable. And that was one question that was asked to Dak Prescott. They were asked, like, hey, well, do you guys just feel like you can win every single game? Like, you guys are doing so great. And Dak even said, well, hey, of course we don't go into a game thinking we're going to lose, but at the same time, we are confident that we're going to, score on every possession, but there are improvements that need to be made. Look at what
Right.
Washington did to Dallas, and these are some of the missed opportunities for the Redskins. They owned the clock, 33.24 compared to Dallas 26-36. You know what I'm
Yep.
saying? So they owned the clock, which is something Dallas, that's their bread and butter. That's how Dallas beat you. So Kirk Cousins had the opportunity. They went to the red zone those three or
Exactly.
four times.
Yeah.
And they left points on the board, and the running game was completely shut down. So if I'm Minnesota, I'm definitely looking at, hey, this Cowboys offense, they're going to do what they're going to do. I mean, Dak is going to be Dak. Zeke is going to be Zeke. That offensive line is going to be superior. Of course, Dak is going to throw up the X. You got to watch out for little Cole Beasley because he's going to be in there.
Yep.
They're going to do their thing. But that defense, and I know Jason Garrett and everybody, they're drawing up something because that defense, if you can
Rob
control the clock,
Marinelli. Yep.
yeah, if you can control the clock and you can actually convert in the red zone, let's be honest. I mean, that score could have been obviously different if they would
Absolutely.
have scored each time
Or
Washington would
that,
have
yep.
scored.
Yeah.
Each time they went to the red zone, we could be having a completely different conversation right now. So again, I know that's what of course all the Redskins fans are going to say, we almost beat them. There are no moral victories, but that's why I wrote, hey, both teams, both Washington and Dallas, are walking away from Thursday's game. Dallas is wiping the sweat off their head, like, ooh, that was a close one. And Washington is really kicking themselves in the back, like, dang, we could have had that. And so if
And
I'm
not only kicking
Minnesota,
themselves in the back, they're also thinking to ourselves, okay, bet if we see
yep.
them playoff time, we know exactly how to do this. And some, hopefully, we're not going to concede to that here on Cowboys Zone. Again, that's what you're
Right.
listening to here on Fox Sports 1340 AM.com. We're not going to concede to that, but the third time could be the charm for the Redskins if
Yeah.
Dallas happens to see them, if they don't tighten up this defense.
Yeah. So that's definitely something to be concerned about with Dallas. Again, they won the game. They did their thing. Now they're going to move on to Minnesota and face the Vikings. But if I'm the Vikings, if I'm the Giants, if I'm any of those teams that are on the schedule, I don't really see Tampa Bay really having a chance. But Tampa Bay, Detroit, Philadelphia, any of those teams that the Cowboys have coming up, I'm definitely looking at what Washington did. And you're right. If I'm the Redskins, of course, I got to focus on the Cardinals. I got to focus on Philadelphia. But if things were to happen where you find yourself playing Dallas again for a third time, but this time for the playoffs, I'm doing everything that I did in the last game, Thanksgiving Day. But this time, I'm going to actually convert. in the red zone. And, you know, like I said, that could be something very interesting to watch. So we have several weeks away from that to happen, but definitely Cowboys want to take care of that, I'm sure. Jason Garrett, because Jason Garrett mentioned that, hey, well, you know, we had him throwing 53 times, but hey, at the same time,
exactly.
You know, they, yeah, so that's something and definitely.
Again, this last stretch here, Dallas has to be careful just mm-hmm. to make sure that they are defeating teams that other teams in the division have already defeated. The Redskins beat Minnesota. And I don't know. I really am not 100% sure about the Giants, but this week coming up, the Giants see Cleveland. We're just going to go ahead and call that a win. And then Philadelphia takes on Green Bay Monday night. The team in the division I definitely say at this point that you definitely want to look out for are those New York football Giants. Yeah. I mean, that first of all, that receiving core they have is amazing. When you have, you know, Victor Cruz as your third receiver, I mean, and then you have Odell as your number one, and gosh, his name always escapes me, their number two receiver. They have a pretty decent receiving core there. Their defense is not mm-hmm. bad, and they are coming. They're the only loss on Dallas this year. And, you know, I mean, the NFC East as a whole is a really, really good division. I mean, there could potentially be three teams coming out of the division to go into the playoffs. The Giants and the Redskins would be wild cards, and then, you know, Dallas, of course, would, you know, have that number one seed. So, again, this is still not a clear gimme to the Dallas Cowboys. They have to make sure that they take care of business. I am of the mindset of Michael Irvin, however, at some point I wouldn't mind seeing a loss just so they can remember what that feels like. It's been, you know, well over 2 months since they remember what the feeling of a loss is. I, however, I'm different from Michael. I don't want to see that when it comes to a division opponent, because that'll come back and bite you in your behind at the end of the year when it comes to your division record and getting into the playoffs. So you don't want to see that against a division team. But at some point, they probably do need to go ahead and take a L so they'll know how that feels going into, you know, and, you know, losses build experience and build character. So, you know, just as much as experience as that Dak is getting these wins, you know, that'll, you know, a loss would fuel the fire even more. So at some point, I think that it would be okay if they, you know, finishing 14-2, that's not bad either. We'll see how that goes.
The one thing, I'll say this real quick and we can move on. I think the one thing that would kind of scare me a little bit if the Dallas Cowboys did take a L would be the way that they take a L. Because if you have Dak Prescott go out there and look like a true blue rookie, you already know everybody is about to bring up that Romo conversation again. And with them going so deep into the season and the playoffs is right around the corner, you wonder, okay, if Dak go out there and drop a game in Minneapolis, you know, would that start a conversation? Would that kind of start people wanting to bring Romo back in? Would that kind of start a couple of divisions in that locker room?
Let me tell them what I told you in Dallas. This is what, you know, me and Josh was talking, you know, about the show, everyone, and this is exactly what I told him in Dallas. I'm gonna tell you guys. This is how you just kill all the noise. You, first of all, Jerry has to officially come out and say Dak Prescott is the leader and the starter of this team going forward. It's not no if he has a bad game. It's not no if this and A, B, and C happen. He is the starter of this ball club going forward. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No talk about it. But also on the flip side of that, you do have the option that, and I'm not saying, let's just say a playoff game coming. You know, Dak has a really bad first half, you know, being a rookie. I don't see a problem with putting Tony in that second half of the game and, you know, him possibly leading us to a victory. But what you don't do is sit Dak for that next game. He's still the starter. You start him in that next game. You always keep Tony as an option. Tony is a great option to be a backup quarterback, and I don't see how they can't finesse this where this ultimately works in their favor. Oh, okay, well, it's a couple of plays that Dak isn't succeeding on that we know that Tony would. Well, let's put Tony in. Okay, well, now that series is over and we didn't put up 14 unanswered points, let's go ahead and put Dak back in. I don't see a problem with flip-flopping like that. You're making Tony happy. If they go on to win a Super Bowl, he'll feel like he's a part of that Super Bowl run. And you're also keeping your future happy, which is in, you know, Dak Prescott. So I really don't see a problem how that would bother them, you know, with that being the case. Who cares if the call can come up? Dak should be okay with knowing, oh, okay, cool. I know that's cool. I got this veteran backup that can help me. So now what y'all got to say? Like, it seems like it's just such a battle that it just shouldn't be because everybody's on the same team here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, as you mentioned, I think where that responsibility lies on the shoulders of Jerry Jones. And
right.
That's kind of where it goes down to. Jerry is the one that created all of this.
That's true.
When he went down, when Romo went down during the preseason, again, the Cowboys could have went out there and got somebody like a Michael Vick or Sam Bradford, anybody. They could have went out there and got any of those people. But they didn't. They said, well, hey, Dak is looking pretty good in preseason. Let's see what this fourth-round rookie out of Mississippi State got to offer. And he did. He did his thing. He lost the first game on September the 11th, but that was his first and last game that they lost. You know, when you put it like that, that's pretty big deal. Like, we say, oh, well, they're 10-1. Check this out. They have not had a loss since 9/11, since the first game of the season. They have not had a loss. So it was Jerry that out there in San Francisco, well, Romo's our quarterback. You know, he was the one that was doing all
of that.
I love
how you sound just like Jerry, man. You just sound like Jerry, man.
We actually got a guest coming on later on the show. His name is Billy Dill. I guess he's been covering Dak since, like, forever, he says. And he's going to give us a little insight.
We'll be having everybody knows. You guys know we have the best, like, special guest in this. This Billy Joe has been covering Dak. Actually, before Dak even came into the world, he always tells us. So it's going to be interesting, you know. But, you know, like you were saying, Jerry did, you know, start all of this, and it's his responsibility to end it.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I think that would definitely, and that's why I was saying, okay, yeah, Tony did come out there with that poetic style speech, and you and I, we saw different perspectives on that. But I think if it was Jerry, if Jerry would have went out there and just said, hey, look, all right, we got a great reserve in Tony Romo, but Dak Prescott, further notice, unless he get injured or something, God forbid, he is our quarterback. He's young, he's a rookie, but he showed leadership. He showed that veteran-type skills. He is our quarterback. This is the person that is going to be representing the Cowboys from here on out. You know, this is our new franchise quarterback. You say it like that, and I know he's a loyalist. I understand he's loyal to Tony Romo. That's like his son or something. I understand all of that. But if he would have said it like that, then you're right. Dak can go up to Minneapolis and blow a game at the USA, at the U.S. Bank Stadium. Oh, cool. All right. Dak had a bad game. He's human. Like when he threw his first interception, everybody, oh, my God, Dak threw it. You know, he's human. He threw his first interception. He lost his first game, you know, since the 10-game winning streak. Cool. What it is. Oh, he didn't play the best game against the Giants, but they kind of won that game. Cool. Dak can understand no matter what, this is my team. Kind of like Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Rodgers can throw 3 interceptions against the Redskins. I don't think he did, but if he did, cool. Aaron Rodgers is going back to Green Bay knowing this is his team, whether for good or for worse. When they won a championship and when they're one of the worst teams in the NFC North, for good or for worse, the Green Bay Packers is Aaron Rodgers' team. Dak Prescott needs that type of security. And I feel as though if that's what he had, then, of course, no matter what happens in Minnesota and New York, when they play Tampa Bay, when they play Detroit, when they play Philadelphia, no matter what happens, Dak knows, okay, I'm good. And, yeah, if Romo has to come in because I'm a little wet behind the ears and I'm not doing what I need to do, cool.
No problem.
I know
absolutely
moving forward,
that.
This is my team. And that's what Jerry Jones needs to do.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. And, you know, again, you guys are tuned into Cowboy Zone on Fox Sports 1340 AM. Again, we had a great time. Shout out your cities in Texas, man. Your cities in Texas, Josh.
Hey, yeah. Shout out to everybody. We had, like you just said, we had a really great time down there. We had some good Southern hospitality. I enjoyed it. We had a good time. Shout out to Fort Worth. Shout out to Richardson. Shout out to Denton, Plano. Everybody checking in with us. Mesquite. Lancer, Irving. Shout out to the airport, all right? Because they got we was there. We got
love
there on
Phil
time.
And Fort Worth. Oh, love. Because I was listen. I am a horrible navigator. I can't find my way around driving with a navigation system helping me. Better yet, walking. Like trying to find my way in everybody in Dallas, downtown Dallas area, you know, where we, you know, stayed and those individuals at the Fort Worth airport and even the individuals at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness, everybody was just pretty dope. And, you know, we were just so happy to be there. And again, all the love you guys showed, it was pretty dope. Listen, I want to give out my AMVP.
What's up? Who
and,
is your
AMVP? And for those that don't know, again, our special host, Billy Joe. Sorry, Josh, I'm kind of kicking you to the curb again. And he's going to
cool.
give out his BMVP, Billy's MVP. You know, sorry, Josh, maybe next week, Josh, you can definitely give out your JMVP. That's not a problem. But my AMVP is definitely going to go to the touchdown list, Dez Bryant. Listen, Dez Bryant had 5 receptions for 72 yards, but Dez was definitely the game changer when we needed first downs, when we needed yardage, even though, again, he only had 5 receptions, when you needed him to just be that decoy to get it into somebody else. Dez was that person. And on top of that, I mean, he kind of put a little bit of momentum and kind of put a little edgy. He's that person that puts the edginess to the team anyway. He's that emotional leader anyway. And, you know, to see that up against one of the league's, if not the top league cornerback, I mean, that was pretty cool. And, again, entertaining. You know, he won an entertaining, you know, spot as well last night. So, Thursday. So I'm definitely going to give my AMVP to Dez Bryant. Is Billy Joe on the line, Josh? Do you know?
Let me see. Let's get him on the line. Hey, Billy Joe, are you there with us?
Yeah, hello. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me out there?
Hey there, Billy. How are you?
Hey, Ashley. How you doing? It's nice. It's nice you guys invited me on the show. How you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. We wanted to get your input, Billy, on who your MVP of Thanksgiving's game was, where, you know, the Dallas Cowboys matched up against the Washington Redskins.
I mean, I have to agree with you, but I did choose somebody else. Dez did do an amazing job, as you just mentioned. He only had 5 receptions for 72 yards, but Dez is just a phenomenal player, and just him being on the field out there, he just makes things so great. But when you speak about greatness, and I think about, as y'all kind of referenced earlier in the show, but I've been knowing that for quite some time. I remember watching him as a young boy over there in Houghton, Louisiana. And I'm based out of Mississippi. I'm out here in a little town called Grenada, Mississippi. It's about an hour and a half south of Memphis, Tennessee, and about an hour and a half north of Jackson, Mississippi. And I used to go down Highway 82 over to Starksville. And I remember Dak. Sorry, I get a little emotional because, you know, I just remember playing out there in Mississippi State, Hale State. And, you know, Dak just to be playing for the Cowboys in number 15 jersey when he was back at Mississippi State, and now he's wearing number 4. And all the things that he's been through with Dr. Love, Dak.
Right, Billy, who is Dak your is Dak your MVP of the game, Billy?
Yes, he is. I mean, let's take a look at the stats. If you can see him right here on the screen, he was 17 for 24, or 195 yards, and he had his own touchdown. You know, and he ran it right on in. And I mean,
are you crying, Billy Joe?
I am. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I mean, nobody saw it coming. But this, let me tell you, I got to say, 18 touches, 2,835 yards, and 67.9% completion rate. He got 108 quarterback rate. If Dak Prescott ain't the greatest thing that ever happened, not only Mississippi State, but he's the greatest thing to happen to the Dallas Cowboys in the state of Texas. And I know
He's better than Troy? Do you know who Troy Aikman is, Billy Jeff?
They need to be. Look, I would call Jerry Jones right now. They need to build a Dak Prescott a statue right there in front of AT&T Stadium. Look, 35 million people watched this game last year. 35.
And know, all of that was because of Dak.
Dak. Right. They all want to see Dak on Thanksgiving. Dak is one of the most American things you could ever have. It's all Dak.
He's better than Roger Staubach. He's better than all those guys.
He's better all that. I mean, look, I don't mean offense. I really don't mean offense to Troy Aikman. I don't mean offense to Starbuck. I don't mean offense to Tony Romo. I don't mean offense to nobody. But Dak, Ryan Dakota, that's his name, Ryan Dakota, Dak. Out of Southern Louisiana, he was born there, but he's originally from Houghton. He is the greatest thing that ever happened to football. And I know, wait. I know people don't talk about Tom Brady and Brett Favre and all these other people, but Dak, I am so proud of Dak. And I'm telling you, he is American. He is everything that you want to dream to
okay.
be. Okay.
Billy, we want to thank you for being here, and we want to thank you so much for your input. And, you know, we definitely want to have you back on the show at some point. We don't want to upset you anymore.
Oh,
you're quite emotional about Dak. And, you
I
know,
love
we, that. Again, yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we'll definitely.
He woke me up this morning.
Dak woke you up this morning?
He did. Before you go, I know you guys got to wrap up, but I woke up. And I saw the sun shining on this beautiful Saturday, and I was just like, it's over because Dak, you know, it was such a beautiful sunny morning. And Dak
thank you. Thank you, Billy Joe. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. Thank you so much for being here.
I don't know about that guy. I really don't.
Gosh,
no,
man.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I mean, I like
Dak. I don't know if that was a real Dak, like, MVP thing or if he's just – I had to disconnect. I had to hang up. I just had to hang up.
Right.
Because he would have kept going. He would have just kept going, and I just didn't. He's way too emotional. Y'all let us know if y'all feel like he should come back on the show. He's way too emotional. Listen, we are wrapping up, folks. We're going to pray on that. We are wrapping up, everybody. Again, this is Cowboy Zone on Fox Sports. 1340 a.m. Josh, this is always so much fun when we do this. Again, Josh, we will be live from the Minneapolis, the Minnesota Dallas game. I don't know where that was going. I'm going to say Minnesota.
Minnesota.
We are going to be going to have live coverage at the Minnesota and Dallas game, which is next Thursday. So there will be another, like, special edition of this show. Dallas gets a lot of rest, man. Who you think is winning the Dallas game, the Vikings and Dallas game? What's the score? Real quick.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. This may be one of your 17-10 type games. It's going to be a low-scoring game. Dallas defense definitely going to have to hold things tight because Minnesota defense is definitely will. So this is going to be a testy game. This is not going to be a rollover game for the Vikings. So I will give the slight advantage to Dallas.
Okay.
Because but Minnesota has much more to play for. They don't want to continue to lose and fall behind in that conference. So
that makes sense. I'm going 34. I'm going 34-17 Dallas.
Okay.
Dallas is averaging 30 points a game. Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm going 34-17. Dallas, and I believe that they'll make sure that they get back to holding the ball more. That time of possession will definitely waver in their favor. Ezekiel Elliott should definitely get over that. I think the last couple of games he's had like 97 yards or something to that. Like the last three games, he hasn't hit that 100 mark. I think he'll get over that hump this game. And I think the Dallas Cowboys will improve to 11-1 on the year. I don't even sound right saying it out of my mouth, but I believe again they will advance to 11-1 on the year. So we are signing out, folks. Thank you so much
Billy
for listening.
I would have loved to hear what he would have said.
Billy's a mess, man. I mean, he said Dak woke him up this morning. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I'm sure Dak probably got a restraining order against him. But, yeah, let's wrap this on up, man. Hey, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. Ashley, make sure you shout out to our Twitter. What is your Twitter so the people know where to find you at?
It is AshleyBaker_21. That is my Twitter. I'm on there frequently, talking to a lot of different cowboy individuals and just ranting and talking myself. So yours, Josh?
I am the Josh A. Benson. That is spelled THEJOSHABINSON. And also make sure you stay tuned with Fox Sports 1340 AM. Visit our website. That's our website, FoxSports1340AM.com. You can follow us on Twitter at the same thing. Follow us on Instagram. We're everywhere. YouTube. We give you that exclusive. And that's exactly what we just did for Thanksgiving, and we'll continue to do that for the rest of the season from both sides of the football. From the Redskin perspective, I'll be live in Phoenix. We'll be live in Philadelphia with those guys, and we'll be live in Minneapolis with the Dallas Cowboys. So stay here with 1340 AM. We are your source for all things Dallas Cowboys and Washington Redskins and Wizards, but we're talking football right now. Washington Redskins and Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, man. And we're not even going to talk about the Washington Redskins. But again, that's another subject for another day. We are signing out, folks. Thanks again for joining.